to Genesis chapter 13. Prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we have a mighty God. We thank you that we have a God that is in complete control of all things. Our dear Lord, we thank you that there's nothing that takes you by surprise. Heavenly Father, there's nothing that you cannot handle. And Lord, we're so thankful for that. And dear Lord, as we quoted the song and reread some of the song, dear Heavenly Father, your way is best, dear Heavenly Father. And we thank you that we can come to a place to acknowledge that, dear Lord. It saddens our heart when we see the world out there to where they don't believe that. Their way is best. They're going to do things their way. And dear Heavenly Father, the greatest tragedy of that event, dear Heavenly Father, the greatest tragedy is they won't be aware that their way is not profitable until they close their eyes to this world. And the Heavenly Father, they wake up into a place that the Word of God teaches us, a place of torment that Jesus taught the Heavenly Father, a place of hell, a place of eternity, dear Heavenly Father, a place of separation from God. And the Heavenly Father, there needs to be a cry among our land today of people being warned of this place, dear Heavenly Father. We're living in such a time, dear Lord, to where people just mock God, turn from God. Dear Lord, people have just come to the place to almost demand to God that they're going to do their way and they're going to inherit heaven. And dear Heavenly Father, your word stands faithful. And dear Lord, help us as saints of God. We need to have a greater strength, a greater burden, dear Lord, so to speak. Dear Lord, we need to be honest with people's souls, dear Heavenly Father, and let them know unless they get born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Except you be born again and separate from sin, dear Lord, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. Dear Heavenly Father, those are difficult things to say, dear Lord, but dear Heavenly Father, the souls are in jeopardy of hell, dear Heavenly Father, and Lord, we need to ask you to help us to be brazen, to let people know that call, dear Lord. We thank you that you dealt with our souls one day. We're thankful that one day you talked to us. And dear Heavenly Father, you gave us a fear of that, dear Lord, and a reverence of you, dear Heavenly Father, and found that your way is best, dear Lord, and we're thankful for that. Go with us throughout this morning, dear Lord, as we open up the Word of God. We ask you to anoint each and every one of the ears of the hearers today and anoint the Word in a special way. Anoint me that I bring it as you'd have us to. In Jesus' name, amen. In Genesis chapter 13, we're going to pick up in verse 1. Very familiar story here with Abraham and Lot. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had. And I want you to notice what it says here, that this was Abraham's choice. Of course, we know God called him to go, and his wife went with him. Of course, she would have. But the next line here in verse 1, it says, and Lot went with him to the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto a place where his tent had been in the beginning and between Bethel and Hai, and unto a place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, and they might dwell together, for their substance was great, and they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt there, dwelt in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. It is not the whole land before thee. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou departest to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as in the garden of the Lord. like unto the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east and separated themselves one from another. And Abraham dwelt in the lands of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the city in the plains, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. I know we can gain many thoughts out of this, but before we look here into Genesis and my thought for this morning, I want to look at another individual in the Bible, back in Hebrews. We're not going to go over there, but in Hebrews, of a man that also had a choice. A man named Moses. And most of us know the story, very familiar with Moses, that he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And looking at what Moses could have accomplished or had, he had everything that he would have desired at that time in his heart. He was no doubt in line to be Pharaoh. He had all the riches. He had all the power. He had all the authority. He was, in that time, what we would look at, very comfortable in living in life. There was nothing that he would have struggled for, wanted for, couldn't have had. He had everything that he would have desired. But Moses had a choice. And the choice that Moses was looking at, the Bible says, I'm not going to go over there, but over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26, it says that he esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than all the riches in Egypt. He had a greater respect. He had a greater appreciation for God's people, for having to go through the suffering. And the Bible says there that Moses chose rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And I want to look at that thought for this morning a little bit. And there again, I ask the Lord to help us, help me. You know, as we had a funeral to do on Friday, and of course, when it's a death of not really truly understanding what had happened, whether it was suicide or murder or whatever, it's always difficult to deal with those things. But the concern, and when you go there, that you just leave all that alone, you try to give some comfort to some people, but also an opportunity to let somebody know. Yes. They need to choose God. Now, you don't go into the thought of the detail that maybe some reasons that happens because their choice was not of God. You don't deal with those things or anything, but people need to choose God. I even brought to them what I brought to you maybe a little while ago, and I even looked that up again, got some other details, and I meant to mention that 50 years ago, they had made a research of at least 60% of the people back 50 years ago went to church. Now it has dropped down to 30%, and what I read a little bit ago from 2019, it was roughly around 33%. People said they at least went to church once a month. I thought, wow, that's a real accomplishment. They went to church once a month. 33% of people said that compared to after COVID. Now it's dropped down to 30%. And people are crying and wondering why our country is in the mess that they're in. Morals have gone, standards have gone, the respect for God has gone, prayer has gone, reading the Bible has gone, all these things. And the Bible lets us know, God lets us know, when a people forget God, he shall turn that nation into hell. We ain't far from it. They're killing one another left and right. Crime is raging. Drugs are raging. We're putting drug places every corner. They're just popping up everywhere. You can go in and buy drugs and things like that everywhere. It's crazy. And people wonder why we're in that condition. But Moses made a choice. He said, I'll suffer the afflictions with the people of God, either to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And I want to look at that thought for each and every one of us. There is pleasure in sin. There is pleasure in the world. There is enjoyment in doing things out there. But there are sometimes we need to reject them. We need to leave those things alone for to be a child of God. Everything in this world that we see, that we touch, that we handle, that we experience, everything in this world will pass away one day. It's going to be gone. Whether you leave this world and go into eternity, or one day the Bible lets us know that God says he's coming back and he'll destroy this world and all the elements of it will be burned up with a fervent heat. There won't be a thing in this building, a thing upon the earth. Your clothing, your cars, your homes, your jobs, everything that we have will disappear from the face of this earth. And when we stand before God and we even make heaven a home by the grace of God, we make heaven a home, we're not going to know one. One verse in the Bible talks, they said that they asked Jesus a question, if my brother dies, I think his brother remarries his wife, and it goes on through there, and they all get to heaven, whose wife shall she be? We won't be husbands and wives in heaven. We won't be literal brothers and sisters in heaven. Natural brothers and sisters. We won't be male and female in heaven. I believe, I trust, and I hope, I believe that we'll know one another. I believe when we get there, those that have gone before us by the grace of God, I believe there will be a wonderful reunion to see the ones the saints have been faithful and they died. And by the grace of God, when you and I have gone on into our reward, that some of our family and friends will come behind us and see that. But everything that we recognize will be gone from the face of the earth. Keep your finger here. We're going to come right back here. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works therein that shall be burned. Ever had anything happen to you suddenly, just like that? Unexpectedly. Trying to think of an event, maybe. But something that happened unexpectedly to you personally, just like that. This very moment, everything's fine. The very next moment, boom. And I'm not talking about from a death or some of news or whatever. Something that happened to you. And you realize there's nothing I can change. Maybe it's been a result of what you've done. Maybe it wasn't or whatever, your circumstance. But it happened. And nothing can change. You cannot change that event right now. It happened. And you can remember how you may feel. You wish you could back up 5 seconds and make a different thought or a different change or a different direction, but you can't. It already happened. I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about, can you feel that? Can you remember how you feel? Something could happen. Boom, and it happens. Well, the Bible, Peter, we just read to you, he says that the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. It will be quick. What choices are we making today? Amen. Some people think, well, I'll do as I want. I'll have fun. And there will come a time where I'll ask the Lord to forgive me. There will come a time in my later years where I can't run and play and have the fun that I... There will come a time when you may not reach those times. You may not get to those times. There may not be a tomorrow. You may not say, I'll go to an altar next week. I'll go to an altar during revival. I'll go to an altar during keep me. I'll change my life during those things. Today is the choice that you have. And Lot and Moses made choices. Two people made two different choices. And as we mentioned in Peter there, every single thing and the choices that we make are the desires of our heart. Desires of what we wanted to have in our life. And everything in this life will pass away. Everything will be destroyed. In a sense, our friendships, our memories, our marriages, our money, our houses, the monuments that are in the world, the mountains, the rivers, not one thing will be spared. What benefit would it be to us to choose the pleasures of this world compared to the things of God? In verse 11 here in Genesis, he says, "Then Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan." Actually, I think I meant to read Peter's 11th verse there. Yeah, I wanted to read Peter's chapter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, after reading verse 10. I'll read verse 10 and then tie in 11. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Verse 11 says, "Seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Nothing. Nothing that we have, we're taking to heaven with us. Not one thing. You're not taking the clothing. You're not taking your money. You're not taking a family. Nothing. We stand before God. The only thing, and I mentioned this in the past time, the only thing we're going to stand before God with, that we came out of this world with, is our reputation, our life, how we live for God or how we live for the world. Everything. Everything will be dissolved. Everything we choose to do in life, I believe we choose with a motive. Every single choice that we make, there is a motive behind it. Abraham or Moses and Lot had a choice to make, and there was a motive behind both of their choices. Abraham had given Lot a choice. And we read that there in Genesis, and Abraham told Lot, he goes, "There's strife between your herdsmen and my herdsmen." And Abraham says, "I don't want to have strife. There's too many of us and things. Let's separate ourselves." He says, "Lot, you go to the left. I'll go to the right. You go to the right. I'll go to the left. Lot, you make the choice. Whatever choice you want to do, let's get away from one another. Let's have peace upon the land." And he gave Lot that choice. And in verse 10 there again, "And behold, Lot lifted up his eyes, beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like unto the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." God gives you and I a choice every day. I'm going to allow the sun come. I almost every day in my morning prayer, and maybe in the evening prayer, I say, "Lord, I thank you for another day." And I do say this from time to time. I say, "Lord, I thank you for another day. You've given me an opportunity to maybe clean up some rough edges. Maybe meditate or think about or take care of some problems that maybe just draw closer to you, Lord." You say, "Well, you're saved and sanctified and doing well." I believe as saints of God, we should always have a desire. "Lord, I want to be a little bit better than I was yesterday. Amen. Be a little closer to you. Be more godly. Be more those things to thinking about. Understanding that your way is best, Lord. I want to get closer to you." Every single day, that should be our desire. Yes, help us, Lord. And God gave Lot this choice, or Moses gave, or Abraham gave Lot this choice. He goes, "Look out there." He goes, "Whatever the way you want to choose, we have a choice." But the sad thing of this whole chapter here in Genesis, and I said to you that Moses and Lot both had a choice, and both they had their motives was behind their choice. And in verse 12, "Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities and the plains, and pitched," the last part of this is the difficult part, "and pitched his tent towards Sodom." Yes, bad choice. Lot looked out over everywhere, and I believe there was something within his heart. There was a longing, a call for the pleasures of sin, for something that he wanted a part of the world. And Abraham gave him that choice, and he went and chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. But when he set out there, his ideas, his thoughts, his mind is in Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know as the story went on, before long, that's where they dwelled. That's where they were living. That's where they were a part of. And a wicked city. Let me tell you what, Sodom wasn't, I don't think it was any more wicked than what we got in our country today. The same things that were going on in Sodom and Gomorrah are going on today on the streets. This word that just popped up in the last, whoever, not long, too long, in the last year or so, this word woke. When I first heard about it, I said, what in the world is woke? What is that? I had to ask them, what is that? What is woke about? I'm talking about it. And if I understand it correctly, it's whatever group or people support the gays and the lesbians and the transgender and support, and they push this, and they push it, and we need to accept it. That's what it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the way they were. Not really wanting to go into the rest of that lesson, but you know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, that when the angels, the men of God, came and he knocked on Lot's door to get Lot and his wife and his children out of Sodom and Gomorrah, to get them out of there. God's going to destroy it. God had let Abraham know, I'm going to destroy the city. And Abraham pleaded with God. If you find, I think he started out with 50. And he went all the way down to, I think, 10. God said, if I find 10 righteous, I'll spare the city. And he couldn't find 10 righteous. And God sent the angels of the Lord in there to draw Adam or Lot and his wife out of there. And as they took those men into Lot's house because of the danger of the city, men came and knocked on Lot's door. We want those men to know them. We want to have relationships with those men. That wasn't any part of my message there, but we're in the same condition in our world today.
Yes.
He set his tent pitched towards Sodom. Lot's choice that he had from Abraham wasn't actually in his sin. He gave him a choice. You choose right, I'll choose left. You go right, I'll go left. And he looked out and he seen all the well-watered plains of Jordan. And he chose that. But the sin was where his motive, his desire, his thought was. We have a choice today. And if God allows you to wake up tomorrow, you'll have a choice tomorrow. And God allows you to wake up Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, every single day. And you know, one thing I've learned is being a Christian, I may make some choices for the things of God. I may have it settled. I may have it anchored. This is the way I'm going to go. But you know what? Next month, the devil's going to challenge me on that very same choice. You don't really want to go that way, do you? And not that you might say, yep, I'm strong with it. You know, from time to time, he's challenged me to a part to where you question. You wonder. You get in discouraging times. You get in battles and things. And the devil will come back. You know that choice that you made? How strong is it today? We need the grace of God to help us to keep it strong. You know, we think about the story of the prodigal son. He made a choice. Thank God he made a couple choices and one was good. But he made a choice to go out into the pleasures of sin. I want to do what I want to do. And he got himself into a place of famine. And there again, one of some things we don't understand, some things we don't know. And some things as saints, as adults, I shouldn't say saints, but as adults sometimes we should realize some of the choices that we make, we have no idea what might be the next step behind that choice that may seal our fate. We may make a choice of sin. And we think, well, I'll have some time. I'm going to make this choice. I'm going to have some good times with the Lord. I'm going to have good times with myself and go out and have pleasure and have fun. But there'll be a time I'll come back and God may shut the door of mercy and opportunity. And the very next step may close our fate to ever getting saved. The prodigal son went out and he had a good time for a long period of time. Until something unaware that he wasn't aware of that came into play, a famine, problems. And he found himself in the hog pen. But thank God he came to himself. And he made a wonderful choice. And he went back to Father's house and desired, Lord, Father, I'm not worthy to be a son, but just make me a hired servant. And the Father reinstated him fully as sonship. That's the goodness of God. And that's one of the things I mentioned in that funeral. If people will turn, I said, we're not the ones that go away from God. God's not the ones that go away from us. I said, we're the ones that go away. God's stable. God stays here all the time, and we go away from God, and we walk away from God. But in the difficult times in our lives, in the hard times, if we would repent and we would turn to God, he is faithful to hear us and to take us back.
Amen.
Every time. You know, Eve, some things we look at in the pleasures of sin. Eve saw, the Bible lets us know that the fruit, the tree, was good for food. And it was pleasant to the eye. You know, not everything in sin is terrible looking. But there are some things that are in sin that people that aren't involved in those things yet, they can see the terribleness of it, the destruction of it, the death of it, the burden of it, but they still follow after it. They go after it. Not everything is that way. Eve, she seen the tree of life there that was in the middle of the garden. She seen that, and she said there, she goes, it would look good for food and pleasant to the eye. Sin isn't always this bad looking thing. Sin sometimes is just basically God says, leave it alone. That's all sometimes God says. And there it is again, back to the song. God's way is best, I will not question. God says, I need you to leave that alone. You know, there may be, and you need to understand, there may be some things that some saints in the world or in the country or the world, there are some things some saints may be able to do that God says, I don't want you doing that.
That's right.
And there's a whole different reason of that sometimes. But God told Eve and Adam and Eve, he says, I don't want you partaking of that fruit in the tree. But they took it. Achan saw the good things of the Babylonian garments. And he knew the law. He knew what the order was. We're not to take any of the gold, anything. We're to destroy everything that was there in Jericho. And he seen some things, I didn't go back and read it, but I believe what it said, when Achan seen those things, it's that a time he coveted those things. He may not have had a desire for that until he seen something. He seen something and he had a desire, he coveted those things and he took of them and he hid them in his tent. The next battle, they went out after Ai and they got ran off. Just a small little group of people. We don't need many men. Joshua, go in there and we'll overtake them. They sent in a group of men and they got ran off. Joshua falls before his face and he says, what happened, Lord? He says, there's sin in the camp. Now, I don't know how all that scenario went, but we know that the Bible says that Joshua and the men, they went through tent to tent to find out where the sin was. You don't think at that time, what I said a little bit ago, when something happens quick like that, you know what it feels like here? Achan knew something. He said, they're going tent to tent. Something said, they're going to come and find my tent. What's in my tent? It cost him and his family's life. And they never enjoyed any of it. They kept it hid. We have many of these things. And many things are pleasure. Many things are enjoyable to the eye. Enjoyable to the human person. But things God says we need to leave alone. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I can remember as a young person reading this verse, and this verse sat heavy with me. Of course, this is how God kind of dealt with me as getting saved. Chapter 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Remember when you were young?
Yeah, barely. It's been a long time ago.
But you can remember it, and you had a good time, man. There wasn't an ache, there wasn't a pain, there wasn't anything. Your mind was sharp. Your ambitions were high. Everything out there in the world, everything was yours to take, whatever you wanted to. And God allowed us, really. Read on to the verse. O young man, rejoice, O young man in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee. Enjoy what's out there. In the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. He goes, look out there, young man, and that's how God dealt with me. Look out there, enjoy the things that God has given to you. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life. We still enjoy life. We may not be able to go like we could, or you know, when we were younger, I could do 6 things in a day. Maybe now I can only do 1 or 2 things. We just went and we go. And God says, do all these things that you desire, young men and young women. But the latter part of that verse says, but. There's a hinge word. This whole verse hinges on that word. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. You may not be young anymore, but we're still making choices to do what we want to do or to walk the way God wants us to walk. We're still making choices. I'm going to do what I want to do. And when I have time, I'll come back to God. We're still making those choices. May not be young. But he says you need to realize and understand that whatever choices you make, all these things God will bring thee unto judgment. We're going to stand before God with the choice that you and I make. No one else is going to be blamed for the choice that we make. I made a choice to be here in service today. You made a choice to be here in service today. 6 o'clock this evening, we're going to have service again tonight. By the grace of God, I make a choice. I'm going to be here. Wednesday, we're going to have service. By the grace of God, I'm going to make a choice to be there. During our ordinance services, by the grace of God, I'm going to be there. During our revival, by the grace of God, I'm going to be in every single service. That's the choice that I make. We make choices of where we're going to be, of what we're going to do, of how we're going to, who we're going to follow. Whether we're going to follow the things of God, or we're going to follow the things of our desires and our hearts. He says, rejoice and look out there. God said in Genesis 1, 26 through 28, I give you dominion over the whole earth. Subdue it. You can go back over there and read when God made the earth and put things together, and he made man upon the earth, and he told Adam there, he says, I give you dominion over everything on the earth. It's yours. Do as you want. But he brings in Ecclesiastes. He goes, but know what you do, you're going to be brought to judgment. We have choices. And I believe as children of God, I believe as we get saved, our first choice is, Lord, I need to serve you and worship you and follow you and obey you. And your way is best, regardless. Your way is best in my job. And my occupation, and my job, where I live, my home, my wife, my children, all those things, everything, your way is best. Even though the world is saying you're a fool to live that way, unfortunately, as I said at the beginning, there's going to come a time that people are going to mock you and I for living for Christ, for separating ourselves from the world. There's going to come a time they're going to stand before God and they're going to be brought to judgment because of the things that they've chosen to do. But at that time, it won't be anything they can do. But know this, all these pleasures, you will be brought to judgment. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 3. Then was Jesus led up into the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him and said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You eat bread? I'm certain Jesus had eaten many pieces of bread before this time. That was a part of their life, really, probably. But this time, it was sin. This time, it may have been disobedience against his father. He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and the enemy came to him and he tempted him with one thing that was a strong point on Jesus' life right there. He said, If you're truly the Son of God, he goes, Command that these stones be turned into bread. Jesus could have done that like that. Jesus could have, if he desired to, he could have allowed his body not to even suffer hunger. He could have changed his physical body and had the power to not even be hungry. But he went through that suffering, through that, and went through the temptation of the enemy, the soul, to be victorious over him. Sometimes, as I said here, sometimes we will think what may seem unreasonable, what God's way is best, and the song fit with my message good this morning. I didn't have it planned or anything, but what we think, when we say God's way is best, sometimes God may say for us to do something or stop doing something or be a part of something, and it may seem to be unreasonable to us. Maybe for this particular time. I don't know. God may have so as did with Jesus Christ here when the devil said, If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He said it is spoken there in verse 4 there. He said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. For one thing, the enemy suggested it. Anytime the enemy suggests anything at all, tries to tempt us with anything at all, it may seem as Eve was, it may seem good, it may seem pleasant, it may not seem a problem, whatever, but because the enemy suggested it, we need to leave it alone.
That's true.
The devil suggested a few other things to Jesus, and the same thing, the outlook was sin. They may seem to be unpleasant. They may seem to be enjoyable. They may seem to appeal to the human body. You know, that's a battle we have. You know, your physical, this guy that you're looking at, what I'm looking at, we're not going to inherit heaven. We're not going to inherit hell. This body's going to go back to the earth where it came. This body doesn't care about heaven. This body doesn't care about hell. This body doesn't care about anything in this Bible. This body cares about only one thing, and that is the things of this world. That's why I believe it was Paul says we need to bring this body under subjection that we may be pleasing to God. I want to do this. The Spirit says, no, you need to be obedient to God. Some things may be enjoyable looking, enjoyable, pleasurable, but they're not pleasing to God. And we need to leave it alone. Are we consecrated to God? Are we to the point where we commit everything to Him? Lord, your way is best. That tree that Adam and Eve, as I said, it looked good for food. It looked pleasant to the eye. But God said, leave it alone. And sometimes we don't know why. We don't know why God says to do what He says outside of He wants to see if we're going to be faithful to Him. God says, I need you to forsake those things. I need you to take up some certain things. I need you to do some things. We reason sometimes, and they may not look to be a problem. And somebody over there, they may be able to do those things. God says, I know. But I want to see if you're going to be faithful to me. I want to see if you're going to sanctify yourself to me to be faithful to me. I tell you, we need to really be careful. As I said a little bit, it's dangerous times. To where we want to, sometimes the enemy tries to get us to live on the edge. A little bit playing a little bit with the world, but being a Christian. Playing a little bit with the world, but being a Christian. And the devil tries to get us that way. We need to be careful, because once we close our eyes into this old world, if we've been dabbling in the world too much, and the sinful things of the world that way, and we die in sin, Jesus says, where I am, you cannot come. He's where I am, you're not being, and at that time, there's nothing we can do. We can't cry. As I said a little bit, have you ever had anything happen to you, just suddenly, unaware, not thinking about anything, all of a sudden it happened? Well, let me tell you what, when we leave this old world, and it happens like that, and as the rich man died, that had Lazarus outside of the gates, and he died, and he says he lifted up his eyes in hell, immediately he started to cry. There's nothing we'll be able to do. Lord, give me another second. Give me another opportunity. Give me another. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the opportunity of time. Abraham, God one time called Abraham to do something that was unreasonable. He says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. Completely unreasonable. And there's probably not a one of us in here that we wouldn't have fallen before our knees before God and said, God, I don't know why. Why, Lord, why? The Bible says Abraham didn't even blink. The next morning he got up, he got his men, he got Isaac, and they headed to a mountain. Didn't even question God. And they got to a certain point, and Abraham told the men that was with him, you stay here. And I love this, what his comment was. He said, you and the men stay here. Me and Isaac, we're going to go and worship. And what we're going to do, we will return. I don't know what Abraham's mind thought was. And I've heard people make comment that God gave Abraham and Sarah a child from a dead womb that he can raise them. Maybe that was his thought. I have no idea. But Abraham went through that. And they get there, and Isaac says, he says, Father, he goes, I see the wood and the fire in it, but where's the sacrifice? He said, God will provide a sacrifice. The time he bound him up, wound him up, put him on the altar, and he getting ready to kill Isaac. And as he lifted up his hand to slay him with a knife, and the angel of the Lord told him to stop. And he looked over, and there was an animal tied up in the thickets. And he got him and sacrificed him. I say all this because if you're going to be a child of God, if you want to make heaven your home, God is going to allow some things to come in your life to see if you really are. God is going to put you on the place, I need you to do this, and you're going to have a choice. Yep. I don't want to do that, Lord. And you may just continue to walk as a Christian. But when you leave this old world, you'll be banned from heaven. The song in our songbook says it will stop you at the door and allow us to go in. What was wrong with the fruit tree that Adam and Eve was in the middle of the garden? Whatever was wrong with it, God said, I don't want you to touch it. God wants us to be consecrated. When Abraham told Lot, you go to the left, I'll go to the right, you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Lot should have prayed to God for directions or should have asked Abraham what to do. I read, I started off the verses in Scripture and I made the comment. Abraham, God called Abraham and Sarah and his family, I want you to go out. to a country that I'll show to you. Lot joined with him. And I'm sure, Abraham, I want to go with you. He had confidence in Abraham. And he went with him. He followed with him. But when he got to this place to separate, he should have gone to Abraham and said, Abraham, what should I do? Abraham, if you remember, I think we talked about maybe Wednesday night. I don't know if I did or not, but I was studying it. I don't know if we talked about it. But remember when the verse in the Bible, when Solomon, God gave him a dream and asked him what to do. And that was one, but what was the other one? I think it was David. Maybe it was David. When God was going to punish him or whatever. And God said, I'll give you three choices of this punishment. You choose it. And David said, I'm not able to do that, Lord. You make the choice. You do the choice of what you give to me, of the punishment. And God chose the punishment for David. Well, you know what? Lot should have said the same thing to Abraham. And you know what some problems with people is? Why they won't go to ask for help from some people, from a pastor, from a minister, or whatever. Why they won't ask suggestions is because they don't want the truth. You know, sometimes, you know what it means to be biased? I want to go to this person and ask this person their opinion on something. They're completely unrelated to the story. And they may look at the whole scenario. And they may really ration in their mind. You know, you're making a choice for something that's not maybe good for you. That's why people don't ask questions. Lot just made a choice. I'm going to go this way. I don't want Abraham's advice, or I don't want God's advice. And if it wasn't for the grace of Abraham and the grace of God, Lot may have died there in Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes. But God allowed him to come out of there. He did lose his wife. What is influencing you in the world? Our families have a strong influence. Ourselves have a strong influence. I want to do what I want to do. But I ask this, Lord, help us. Lord, your way is best. Help me to acknowledge that. Help me to follow that. Help me to stay on the path. And God, give me the grace if you say, I need you to leave that alone. Or as he did with Abraham, I need you to do something for me. Lord, just help me to follow. Just help me to be obedient that I may be pleasing to the Lord. There's pleasure in the world, but we need to make sure that God is pleased with what we're doing in our life. May the Lord bless you as I have a song.
Let's open our psalm book and turn to page 150. 150.
My humble cry, why have I?
Seated for just a moment, please.